I'm wondering if a George and Vivian Wilkins are here this morning. If so, would you please stand? Okay. They stopped by the church office this week. They were married in 1952 when the church met in the stone building here on the corner. Celebrating their 65th wedding anniversary this weekend, and it was our understanding that they were going to try to come and worship with us this morning, but congratulations to them. And then, just 3 days anniversary, Josiah and Rachel married just last Thursday. Congratulations to you guys. Okay. Now, next week, it will be my privilege to hand the pastoral baton, if you will, to our new pastor, Matt Cotman. And I hope you're planning to join us. It's going to be a combined service at 10:30 for this, what we call installation of our new pastor. I suspect we're going to have a very full house. And so let's do our best to flex and accommodate and each other and our guests. I've asked 4 men to assist our ushers by placing themselves in the aisles to help attenders find seats, and I'm really grateful for their willingness to do that. So what does one say in his concluding message? Goodbye. Actually, the first thing Jeannie and I wish to say is thank you. Thank you for the way you have supported and encouraged us these past few years. And Jeannie asked me to read this. I was the wife of a pastor for 6 weeks, clearly a rookie when we began our journey with you. This was a huge life event for me. I'm amazed that God allowed me to have this privilege, for you were so welcoming and loving to me that it made slipping into this role feel as though it was I who was being cared for. The unconditional love and acceptance I received from you has filled some of the broken places in me. Thank you, church family, for your words of encouragement, your prayers, and your friendship. I should probably keep her, don't you think? It truly has been our joy to be a part of you, the Solid Rock family. Sometimes we don't always see immediate results, answers to our prayers, but we've had the tremendous joy of seeing God work in so many different ways. And any praise for anything accomplished for the health of our church goes to our Lord. To see our search team come to unity on the recommendation that we call Matt to be our pastor, and to see you support that with a unanimous vote is frosting on the cake of answered prayer. What the future holds for Jeannie and me is uncertain at this point, but we believe the message of Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, that the grace that saves us is also the grace that prepares good works in advance for us to do. So over the next couple of months, we plan to take a couple of road trips, enjoy some of God's creation, while seeking to discern what He has prepared for us to do. Your prayers for our discernment will be greatly appreciated. But what I want to emphasize today is what I'd like you to remember. And it has nothing to do with us. Blessings. There are some things, of course, I trust you will forget. particularly my weaknesses and how they may have impacted my ministry to you. If my flaws in any way offended or hurt you, I'm confident that you have forgiven me. For what I know of mature, forgiven people who are growing in the Lord is that they forgive and keep no record of wrongs. And I've seen a lot of such humility and maturity among you, and I thank you for your ministry to me and Jeannie. But as I wrap up my ministry with you today, let's highlight what's worth remembering. And to guide our thinking, I'd ask us to turn to the one-letter book of the Bible called Jude, located right before the book of Revelation. I'm going to pick out a few things from this letter that I trust will focus on what we should remember. Jude, would you stand with me as we read a portion of this chapter? In honor of God's word, follow along. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain people have crept in unnoticed long ago, were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now skip down to verse 70. But you must remember, beloved, the predictions of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. They said to you, in the last time there will be scoffers following their own ungodly passions. It is these who cause divisions, worldly people devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Jude introduces himself as a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Both Jude and James were common names when this was written, so we can't be totally certain about who these men are. But most scholars believe that this James is not one of the 12 disciples, but a brother, a half-brother, if you will, of Jesus, who became a disciple, a follower, after the amazing doubt-removing resurrection of his crucified brother, Jesus. And he later became a well-known and respected leader of the early church in Jerusalem. And if that's the case, this Jude would also be a half-brother of Jesus, who became a follower after the resurrection. And in that role as a follower and servant of Jesus, he writes this letter to some other followers, including us. And I say including us, for verse 1 says that he's writing to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ. And from that description of authentic believers, followers, the first thing I ask us to remember is who we are in Christ. If you have entered into a genuine trust, follow relationship with Jesus, this is your identity. This is who you are. You are called, beloved, kept. Think of how special that is. Think of the mass of humanity, the billions of people that have lived and are living. And that out of that mass of people whom the Bible describes as depraved and spiritually dead sinners, unable to come to God on their own, God called you and me out of that mess, out of that bondage, into an eternal relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Now let's think about those three terms just for a second. Called is used in two senses in the New Testament. A general call and an effective call. All people are called to respond to John 3:16. That God so loved the world that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But obviously, the majority of people who hear that call to believe in Jesus do not respond to that invitation with genuine belief. But with some, it is an effective call, in that those who hear the gospel respond to the invitation because the Holy Spirit implanted the strong conviction in their hearts that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the grave to be their Savior and Lord and everlasting life. As a matter of fact, the Greek word for church is literally the called out ones. We who compose the true church of Jesus Christ are called out by God from the world to be His people and His servants. Now, the reason we are so effectively called is second phrase. We are beloved in God the Father. 1 John 3:1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us that we should be called children of God. We are called and loved by the Father. Not only that, but because we are called and loved, third phrase, we are kept for Jesus Christ. That is to say, we are secure in that position of God's saving love, eternally preserved in that position by God and for Jesus. Jesus said of His sheep, His followers, I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. So let's never forget how special we are to God. So special that He effectively called us to Himself because He set His love upon us and will never let us go. You and I are so much more than people who have a religious bent and attend routine church services. We're so much more than that. We are effectively called, eternally loved, and forever kept children of the living God. Secondly, let's remember why we are so blessed. Verse 2 says, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Now, we tend to overlook this type of greeting that we often see in the New Testament. But it is so much more than a cultural greeting from one believer to another. It's a prayer. It's a desire that Jude has for these believers. For when Jude prays that these qualities will be multiplied, he's praying that mercy, peace, and love will mature in us, grow in us and be expressed through us. For you see, what these virtues from God's heart, when they grow and mature in our hearts, we become effective tools. Relationally effective ministry tools in God's hands toward those who have not yet responded to the call. There's something about relational mercy, compassion toward the hurting. And there's something about relational peace. And there's something about self-sacrificing relational love that draws people to our Lord, who is the source of these attractive virtues. It's because of God's mercy and peace and love toward us that we are so blessed. And there's something about these qualities multiplied in us that enable us to bless others and effectively carry out our mission of joining God in loving people into following Jesus. I trust that Solid Rock will be known as a people who express mercy, peace, and love. And that it will increasingly multiply in us. So from this rich greeting describing who we are in Christ and why, I hope you will never forget how very special you are and your fellow believers are to God. Let's not dwell on each other's faults. Anybody can do that. But let's see each other as God sees us and treat each other with His mercy, His peace, and His love. Let's always remember who we are and why. Thirdly, let's remember what we must protect. Verse 3, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write appealing to you to contend for the faith that has what was once for all delivered to the saints. Jude is saying is that my original intention in writing to you it was to just expand upon our wonderful salvation that we have in common. I wanted to elaborate on who we are and why. But instead, I must write about something else, something urgent. For I see what has crept into your church. And I trust, and I must plead with you, contend for the faith. And the word for contend there is a word from which we get the word agonize. I want you to agonize for the faith. It's a strenuous, athletic-type word, picturing an athlete straining every muscle to win the contest. Jude is saying, that is what you need to do for the faith which has been delivered to you. Now, the faith here is what we believe. Those foundational doctrines, those truths regarding who God is, who Jesus is, what Jesus did, who we are without Him, and who we are in Him, on and on. It's what we believe. And it's a faith, Jude says, that's been once for all delivered to the saints. That is to say, this faith speaks of something complete and final that has already been given to us. What Jesus taught and what the apostles taught and wrote about the gospel and how to live out the gospel has been given and preserved as scripture. That's the faith once for all delivered to the saints. It's the finished and the completed word of God, which God has preserved for us in the scriptures. We must protect, uphold, communicate, battle, contend for the conviction that the Bible is the supreme authority for what we believe and how we live. The Bible is our once for all delivered source of truth. Now, why does Jude emphasize that? Verse 4. For certain people have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people, who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. What Jude is saying here is that we are in a battle for truth because of the infiltration of ungodly people into the church who pervert the truth, and who pervert the truth of God's grace, and who deny the authority of Jesus Christ. Apparently, even in Jude's day, some people who claimed to be believers were coming into the church as teaching a distorted view of grace. That grace equals permission to be sensual, to be immoral. It's a perversion that says you can do anything you want. Sin is no big deal. Immorality is just part of the culture. No big deal. You've likely heard the expression, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than for permission. Perverted grace is arrogant, and it ignores God's word and does what it wants with the attitude of, no big deal, I'd rather ask for forgiveness from God than for permission from God's word. Paul wrote to Titus, listen, the grace of God, which brings salvation, also trains us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, godly lives in the present age while we wait for Christ to return. To pervert grace is to tolerate sin. And to deny the authority of Jesus Christ is to view following and obeying Jesus as optional. He's really not Lord. If what God says about relationships, about morality, about how to invest my resources, if it suits me, I'll do it. If it doesn't, I won't. I'll obey what I want to obey. And if I choose to disobey, God's grace is so wonderful. Friends, that's perverted grace. Solid Rock Christian Fellowship, never give up your commitment to the truth of grace, the once-for-all faith delivered to the saints. And don't pervert the wonderful doctrine of God's grace with a compromise of God's holiness, God's word. I'm so grateful that you have called a young pastor who is committed to preaching and teaching the truth of God's word. A man who takes seriously what the Apostle Paul wrote to young Pastor Timothy. Things like, Timothy, Pastor Timothy, preach the word. In season and out of season. Not just when it's popular, Timothy, for it never will be. Preach the word. Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. Timothy, accurately handle the word of truth. Be careful on what you do and how you present the truth. The issue with too many today is that we believe what we prefer to believe. And too many preachers do the same. They'll take scripture out of its context and use it carelessly to talk about what they want to emphasize. But please partner with Pastor Matt in contending for the faith, seeking answers together to what saith the Lord. Be open, of course, to changing ministry methods and styles. Be open to generational differences and preferences. Be open to learning from each other. Be flexible, willing to compromise when it comes to the how-tos of church life, ministry, worship. But remember, always contend, not for man-created tradition, but for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Now, Jude devotes the bulk of this book, verses 5 through 19, to further expose the sin and the errors of these false teachers and to remind them that the apostles predicted that this would happen. But as I wrap this up, let's jump to verse 20. For not only do I want us to remember who we are and why and what we must protect, but then verses 20, 21, I want us also to remember why we're here. Why do we exist? First of all, why are we here in respect to our fellow believers? We know that God has designed the church for our well-being, but what does a good church do? Well, verse 20, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. Four verbs there summarize our mission to each other in the church. Building yourselves up in the most holy faith, the same faith that we are to contend for in verse 3. The foundational truths of the scriptures. Build yourself up with that. Acts 20, verse 31, Paul refers to the word of God's grace, which is able to build you up. We build each other up when we speak God's truth into each other's lives. One of the great values of small groups, by the way. We build each other up when we employ our abilities and our spiritual gifts to serve each other. We build each other up when we deliberately study the 24 or 25 one another commands that we've talked about often and then exercise them. Build yourself up and praying in the Holy Spirit. That's another part of our mission. That's another part of why we are here for each other. We're called to pray for and with each other. Now, praying in the Spirit, as I see it, means that we pray according to the truth given by the Spirit. The Holy Spirit defines and reveals the will of God in the Scriptures. So to pray in the Spirit is to pray what the Spirit would pray. And what the Spirit would pray is what He has already given us in the once for all faith delivered to the saints. Perhaps this is a good place to just give a hearty thank you to you who faithfully came out to our monthly prayer gatherings to pray for the church, pray for each other. And I want to thank our prayer ministry team for promoting prayer in a variety of ways. May Solid Rock be continuously growing as a house of prayer. And then verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. How do we do that? Through trusting obedience. Jesus said, if you obey my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and abide in his love. Our mission includes helping each other to stay connected in a love relationship with God by helping each other discern what God's will is and by helping each other implement what God's will is. We can't do it alone. We need each other. Our mission to each other in the body of Christ is to spur one another on. Matter of fact, that's Hebrews 10, that's the reason for coming together, is to spur one another on to love and good works. Our mission to each other in the body of Christ is to serve each other, build up each other, pray for each other, be obedient to God for each other while waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And so, Solid Rock, keep on loving each other by relating to each other in ways that build and help each other grow and mature in your relational walk with God and with each other. Why? Because we truly believe that we are called by God, loved by God, and kept secure by God, and that Jesus will one day come for us, his bride, take us to our eternal home. And then our mission to those who are not yet in the family of God, verse 22, have mercy on those who doubt. That is to say, those who are wavering in their commitment to Christ, maybe they came to Christ but are wavering, or maybe they're wavering in whether or not to give their lives to Christ. Be merciful to them. Be compassionate. Lovingly help them in their time of questioning and doubting. Be there to help them work through their confusion, their questions, as we love them and speak truth into their lives. Verse 23, save others by snatching them out of the fire. Obviously, you and I cannot save people, but we can and are commissioned by the Lord to be his agents, to be his representatives, to offer them Jesus Christ, who can and does forgive and save. And then Jude adds, to others, show mercy with fear, hating even the garment stained by the flesh. I believe the idea is there is that in developing these merciful, compassionate relationships with people who need Jesus, be careful. Be careful. Be alert to the possibility of becoming contaminated by ungodly values and the distorted ideas of those you're trying to reach. Be merciful toward them, be compassionate, be accepting, be loving and serving, but be careful. So, seeing what Jesus says to the followers of Jesus, let's remember who we are and why. Let's remember what we must protect. Let's remember why we're here. Here at Solid Rock, we define that mission as joining God in loving people into following Jesus. That's why we're here, to join God, who enables us to love people in such a way that they will want to follow our Jesus. And lastly, let's remember where our assurance lies. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. As we move forward, as the called, beloved of God, kept for Jesus, body and bride of Christ, let's trust God to keep us from stumbling in the present, and let's trust Him to finish what He began in us. And so, Solid Rock Christian Fellowship, I knew this would happen. What more can I say? Jeannie and I love you. We care for you. Thank you for giving us the privilege of serving you. And me, in my final word, is that as you move forward together, never forget and always remember who you are and why. So to quote one more time the benediction from Corinthians, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Thank you.